you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. For more information, go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/sox. Chuck Arfine here with Ryan McGuffey and Chris Kampka. We got a couple of things going on with the podcast today. Number one, it's the White Sox and the Cubs facing off in Mesa while we're doing the podcast. Guys, it's like we're almost there.
Yeah, it's like we're doing Mystery Science Theater 3000. We're going to give commentary as the game goes on.
Hey, the weather equates out here and there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
I kind of feel like, yeah.
We might as well be in Arizona.
I can't give the people out there the exact picture of how close this television is to our face
it's
right now.
Close.
But it is like we're at Sloan Park.
Okay. Carson Fulmer, not a good debut for him for his first start. But
I would argue that Nicky Delmonico had a worse day.
In the field.
Yeah,
he's got a couple hits so far.
I know.
But it's fine. It's fine. I like, you know what? Let me see Carson Fulmer get in a little jam. Let me see Carson Fulmer work on it. Let me see Carson Fulmer what he can do after the defense lets him down. Let's see his
that
poise.
Did happen.
Well, let's give him a chance to do that.
I saw all of that and it didn't look good.
All right.
Well, it's one inning. It's one inning.
And it's 4-3 Cubs right now. So as the podcast is going on, we'll be giving our commentary as things progress. The other thing we're going to talk about is what to do about third base, not just, well, we kind of know where it's going to go, we think, in 2018, but really going forward. Third base has been a black hole for the White Sox since Creedy left in 2008. And now with that devastating injury to Jake Berger, what should the White Sox do about third base going forward? Before that, we got to, though, talk about Jake Berger himself, because it's official, ruptured Achilles tendon, surgery this week, out for the season. I mean, this is just shattering news. And from a personal standpoint, I'll speak for Guff too, we love this kid. We love this kid. He'll be back, but his whole timetable is now pushed back a whole other year.
Yeah, the personal side to it is we just spent 2 weeks in spring training, you and I, and I mean, I've never seen a kid who's never played above, you know, low A, have such an impact and a personality, an infectious personality in a major league clubhouse like I've seen with Jake Berger.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, like, of all the White Sox players I've covered, he's, like, already cracked the top 20. He's been around just for a little bit.
We've said this a lot with a lot of these young prospects coming up about their makeup and their personality and this how this light clicks on with a lot of them. And I know Kenny Williams said, you know, to us off camera that this is something that they've looked at. I mean, this is not just part of the talent aspect here. It's a tough sky transitioning into watching this game.
Wow. Ice cream cone for Ryan Cordell right there.
Yes.
But yeah, as you were saying, Jake Berger, he set the tone for Sox Fest for me. He was the first guy I interviewed. And right then and there, I can realize, hey, this is a guy that the other players on the team are going to gravitate towards. He just has that kind of personality.
Yeah, I mean, we went out for burgers with Berger because we had to. And he embraces everything about that. And we had so much fun. We were just about to put it together, and then this thing happens. We're going to put it together because it's that good. We're going to let some of this injury news kind of, you know, just waver down, and we'll get it out there because it's really good, but you'll see the personality and stuff. But the biggest part of it is you lose a year of development.
Yeah.
The personality side, like, that's not going to change in him, but the flat out that you're – he's probably going to at least be at AA this year by the end of the year. It's just
It's particularly frustrating because he has not yet had a full year in the minors.
Right.
And this is going to be it, that first full season exposure to the minors. Now he's not going to get it. And he's coming out of college, so he's already a little more advanced than, your high school draftees. So, I mean, taking a full year out, that's just very unfortunate.
Well, to give an idea of his character, so I was messaging with him today, and he's like, look, sucks for right now, but I'll bounce back, is what he responded to. And then his next thing was, hey, when's our burger story going to run? So you wanted to know about the burger story. We had a great time doing that, and we will be putting that out. But, you know, that is a, it is a, you don't want to, like, the 2 days or day after it happens, we're already thinking about, well, what are the Sox going to do about third base? But you really kind of have to take a long view of this, because this does affect what might happen at the hot corner with the White Sox in the future.
And this is why Rick Hahn talks about, don't get too ahead of yourself in the rebuild.
Yeah.
Because depth, this shows you why depth is so important. You don't, baseball is a weird game. It does bad things to you. Mm. You know, just because you have a great personality doesn't mean it's going to translate on the field. Doesn't mean you aren't going to be succumbed to injury. Jake Berger's gone down. Mike Rodolfo's had what could be a big setback with the elbow. You know, Zach Birdie's out for the whole year. Those are three. 2 years ago, those would have been the Sox top three prospects.
Which is why we emphasize depth. Listen, when you're drawing out your list of, all right, this is going to be the White Sox lineup in 2020, and say, okay, we got our first baseman, we got our third baseman. Yep. You don't stop there and say, okay, we got a third baseman, so we're good now forever.
Nope.
You got to keep building on each position so there's organizational depth.
Well, here is Jake Berger. He spoke to reporters today. He was on crutches, showed up at Camelback Ranch, and here's what he had to say.
Fastball inside, hit a third base, and running down to first, just, I mean, honestly felt like a gunshot, and, you know, went down, and I kind of immediately knew something was wrong, but, you know, just, there's nothing really to say. It sucks, but, you know, I got to stay positive.
You had some big expectations for this camp, and obviously this season. You mentioned disappointment, but how do you get over that disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, just staying positive. I mean, The Sox fans all around the globe have been tweeting me, you know, keeping me positive. The guys in the clubhouse have. I mean, Charlie Telson came over last night, bought me some GameCube games. Like, he knows what it feels like to have something like this happen. So, you know, it's been the support all around Missouri State fans that kind of keep me through it. You know, you just got to think of it positively when something like this happens. You know, you have a decision to make. You can either kind of mope around and be disappointed in it, or you can take it as a positive thing and look at the positives. And, you know, I think this is so it's kind of an extended off season, you know, where I can focus on nutrition, focus on my diet, focus on my body. And I actually texted my academic guy down back in Missouri State. I'm going to go back for an intercession course, get 3 hours in. So, I mean, all that stuff, you know, it keeps you going. But, yeah, definitely the fans' outreach and support has been, it's been huge.
Jake, just what you'd experienced in this camp must have given you some confidence. Hey, I belong here.
Definitely. I mean, it gives you motivation for sure. You know, I think that's another thing that's going to keep me going is, you know, I realize that I belong and that I can play. And so it only gives you motivation for next season. You know, it's kind of hurry up and wait, but, you know, that's part of it. I talked to Contreras because he did it in his career as well. He's like, look, man, like it's a tough recovery, but, you know, you'll get back. But, yeah, he's said he lost 30 pounds while going through it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to being back with my family for a couple weeks.
So interesting that Berger spoke to Jose Contreras. You might remember there was a game in 08 when Contreras was trying to get like a slow hopper off the mound. He tore his Achilles tendon, and it was in August of 08. He was back 8 months later. Opening day in 2009 wasn't great that first month, but he did make it back. So encouraging signs, and who knows how old Contreras was at that time, probably 35, 36.
The only thing that scares me about this injury pitchers, they do use their legs a lot, but the mobility factor does scare me a little bit because of the third base thing. I'm certainly not, like, the Achilles, rupturing an Achilles tendon is not some kind of foreign injury. That's the nicest thing about this is that I guess I would need a medical opinion, like what's worse, tearing an ACL or rupturing an Achilles. I would feel like an ACL would be, but you're going under the knife both ways. It's probably, I don't know, it might equate.
I think it's probably the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, for him, we don't know if he's going to, we didn't know if he'd be a third baseman anyway.
Yeah, but, I mean, you were there. The way, he talked a lot about the work he put in the offseason. Yeah. I was really impressed by the way he can get after a ball at third base.
There is athleticism there that you don't expect.
You
that.
Definitely don't expect it.
I guess.
But look, that's why they drafted him.
It's better that he's a bat first prospect rather than like a toolsy outfielder who's much more reliant on his legs,
that's
right?
True. Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, there's that. But, I mean, yeah, it does for your development third base.
It does stink.
Ideally, you want to stay there.
Oh, by the way, we got to talk about Hector Santiago.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make the team. I think Hector Santiago is going to make the team.
I think if he didn't throw another pitch this spring against a live team, he'd make this. I mean, that was three innings of just flat-out dominance.
I would hope he does because I think that's – I mean, even if you don't want him in the rotation.
Guys, they signed him – the second they signed him that day, to me it was a lock. He's on the team.
Right.
Kind of felt that way.
Yeah.
He's a guy who can work a few innings, which I've been saying it. It's a valuable thing. You've got to have a guy who goes three, four innings at a time out of your pen. You're going to have growing pains. You're not going to want to have a guy go out there, get bombed, and then just keep throwing him out there and stressful pitch after stressful pitch. Get a guy, soften the blow, come in for a few innings.
He threw three innings, four strikeouts, no hits, 16 pitches, all strikes.
Wait, 16 pitches, all strikes?
That's what I'm reading right here.
And he's going back to
he needs to be in the rotation.
16 pitches, 16 strikes.
That's pretty good.
Well, to that, though, if it's on MLB at bat, they do not do actual pitch counts in MLB at bat. They'll just count balls in play and strikes.
I think he did have a couple balls at some point.
Yeah.
I would think.
They don't start doing actual legit pitch counts until regular season.
Well, this is legit. Three innings. The only other thing that shows up other than zero is four, and that's for strikeouts.
Now, granted, it's not the A team for the Cubs. I mean, the White Sox are basically playing their A team. But
it doesn't make Carson Fulmer feel any better, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. It's success. Success is confidence. Yes. Confidence is good. And in the spring training, even if they're poor, like, all right, learning experience.
Yeah.
Move on.
Okay. Back to Jake Berger in third base. So his injury pushes his timeline back a whole year. So if all goes as planned, he's probably not coming up until maybe 2021. So that gives the Sox, they've got three seasons now to fill the gap at third base. Who is going to fill it? Who should fill it? You got Yolmer Sanchez, Matt Davidson, Mike Moustakas is out there. Manny Machado wants to play shortstop, apparently. You got Nolan Arenado. Nick Castellanos will be free agent in 2020. Who wants to take this first?
I'm going Yolmer Sanchez, but I'm going to have Chris explain it all. And I don't even know who he's picking because we purposely told him to we threw it out to him. And then you and I purposely said, don't tell us until this podcast. I'm going to say Yolmer for now, but go ahead, Chris.
All right. So the thing is with Yolmer Sanchez, and he had a fantastic 2017 by Yolmer Sanchez standards. Mm-hmm. Still right around league average.
He's league average for what?
League average offensive player.
Okay.
He's in their first glove. Right now, we're in a transitional period. I think Yolmer Sanchez is the guy. And the reason I say so is this. So from
are you saying long-term he's the guy?
No. I'm saying he's the guy for 2018.
Just 2018?
Yeah.
Okay.
Short bridge.
And the reason, okay, so.
Because here's the thing. That's 2018.
Here's the thing.
All right,
2014 to 16, he was very below league average. 2017, he was a career year for him, right at league average, but the glove was fantastic. I want to give him 18 to see if he can do this again or maybe improve. Give him a chance to do it in 2018. Then we'll make a call on where we go from him. I think he's ideally a bench guy in your lineup. Ideally.
Okay.
You know, can come in here, defensive replacement, give a guy a spell. I think Renteria is going to be the type of manager that hopefully mixes in a guy, mixes him around defensive positions, you know, gives a guy a day off, rotates it.
He'll move Davidson over there sometimes.
Give Davidson a game or two there. But I think Yolmer, give him 18. See if he can do this again. 12 home runs, I think, was a little bit of a stretch for him. I mean, did anyone see 12 home runs out
of
him? No. But
I didn't see 12 home runs. I didn't see his batting average. I didn't see his triples.
You know, yeah.
I don't know how well he could play
third base. It was a very serviceable 267, 319, 413. Utility infielder, yeah. Fine. Let's give him another chance.
There's a double for Jose Abreu.
Oh, like clockwork.
Yeah.
But
you guys, like, you're talking about 14 through 16. He wasn't an everyday player. So I don't know if that's a fair.
So that's why I want to see 18.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're talking about 14 through 16 when they had a different mentality. They were going for it every year. So they had veterans like Todd Frazier and other people that were brought in here to block him.
It's still there. I'm a big fan
of Yolmer. The guys that, like, he couldn't get on the field.
So big fan of Yolmer Sanchez. Okay. I love what
switch
he brings
hitter
to the table.
I like that because they don't have a lot of lefties in their lineup.
It kind of seems to me like his ceiling is a bench guy, and it's not a knock on him. It's a valuable position to have depth. If Yomer Sanchez is one of your guys rounding out the bottom of your 25-man roster, I think you have a chance to have a good team there.
He played 53 games in 16, 28 games in 14, and 120 in 15.
Right, but the results are results. I mean, yes, not as a regular
sample
player,
size.
But I'm not – I cannot possibly say that, oh, yeah, because he had a good 2017, that's his baseline. Can't do it.
I agree with you on that.
I'm just saying give him a chance for 18.
We haven't brought up, like, Moustakas, I would say the exact same thing.
The question.
I think you could talk about a great offensive season. You want to see it again. It's the reason Mike Moustakas hasn't been signed.
Let's talk about Moustakas. I think 38 home runs in 2017 might be – closer to his true talent level than Yomer Sanchez was last year. That's just my opinion. You take him out of Kauffman Stadium, he had 24 homers on the road last year. 24 out of 38. So I think if you bring him to a better environment, that may lead me to think that 30 home runs is a very consistent, sustainable thing for Moustakas. Now, his on-base percentage concerns me. The fact you have to give up a draft pick concerns me.
Yeah, second off
pick. The fact that he has been relatively inconsistent also concerns me. I don't think Moustakas is worth it. I think the home runs might play, but everything else, I don't really want to pay for that.
I mean, if he's 2015 Mike Moustakas, who hit .284 with a .348 on base, 22-82,
yes,
that's
but,
give me that
but
guy.
But that's the exception. Look at the rest of
his
career.
He's a 251, 305, 425 slash line.
Yeah, you don't pay for that.
No.
Okay, now we're trying to rebuild, and you can say, let's see what Sanchez has.
Now, I will say, for the right price, I think there's a Moustakas fit.
Because
of course.
Because here's the other issue they're going to potentially run into. Okay, yeah, you have Yomer Sanchez for 2018.
Right.
Who's third base in 2019?
Because as you said, you're going for Manny Machado. He wants to play shortstop. You have Tim Anderson at shortstop. You're not getting Machado if you're telling him he's a third baseman.
Right.
That's just flat out. Are you going to move Tim Anderson to third? Doubtful.
Me?
I think Nolan Arenado is the guy in 2020.
So do you wait for 2 years? But the other thing is you want to take advantage of the market. And right now the market is pleading with the White Sox.
And that's the case for Moustakas,
to sign Moustakas because – he could be the bridge for 2 years. And I'm not 100% sold on Mike Moustakas, but I'm looking at, we don't know what Yomer is exactly full-time as a third baseman. I have a better idea what Mike Moustakas is. I think he had a bad year defensively. He's normally much better than that.
I think he's about average.
Okay, average. I think he's a little above that, but he's the left-handed bat. He's a power guy. He might be Todd Frazier.
I think that his power plays up once he moves out of Kauffman Stadium.
And you get him for 2 years, and then you can go after Arenado.
So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about DH, right? And we mentioned Logan Morrison. And look what he signed for, right?
I can't believe it.
To that.
1 year, what, $6.5 million?
Yeah, to that.
That's a good deal.
You're not going to get that kind of deal from Moustakas. But you could get a heavy discount, or maybe even a pillow contract.
He made $8 million last year, Moustakas.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one, as far as I can tell, bidding for Moustakas. The Royals would like to take him back. They said they only have about $3 million left for him, so they can't afford him.
It's unbelievable.
He's not going to go to the Yankees.
What did they spend money on?
Well, they're trying to cut, too.
They're trying to cut, that's why. Yeah,
the other thing is, you mentioned Moustakas, the fielder. He's a career .956 fielder. Okay, this is a smaller sample size with Yomer. He's a career .979.
No, Yomer's a better defender,
Sanchez
for sure.
Sanchez is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not
like to me. Right. Then like talking this out, it's absolute no brainer.
So you'd be fine with Yomer for the next 2 years at third base?
If we're talking about a bridge to some either Berger or free agent, right?
Okay.
That we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Guff. 2 years, if 2 years of bridge, sure. And maybe
he's a better fielder.
Wait.
Which, quite honestly.
I thought Matt Davidson went deep again.
He's a fantastic fielder.
Honestly, give me the better fielder than the guy who's going to hit 30. Like, you're not necessarily, you don't need to bring in a guy to hit 35 homers. You don't.
And good defense. Good defense is always a good thing when you have a young
pitching. And already knows the clubhouse and people love him.
They love him.
So,
they do.
Oh, trust me. Listen, if I didn't want Yomer Sanchez as my starting third baseman, I want him on the team for sure. Let me say that. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
But this is defense is legit.
Here's what's funny.
And maybe he continues his breakout.
Here's what's funny about baseball. if we would go back a year.
Oh, I promise you.
One year from today and mm-hmm. said, I don't know, what should we keep Yomer Sanchez or should we sign Mike Moustakas?
or we can also
we would
ask,
be like, give me Mike Moustakas every single time. And now we're also, like, you know what? I'm good with Yomer.
We can also go back a year and ask who's going to have the better season, Leori or Avi Garcia? And we did ask that question.
Moustakas
is 29 and Yomer's 25. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah, he's only 25.
When you think about it, he's 25 flipping years old. 25. Guys are just like starting to go. Their trajectory is starting to go up at 25. Like if you look at Moustakas, he was starting to go up at 25. What if 17 was the
right? And I'm willing to take a look and find out.
Yeah, I totally agree. So if we're looking and finding out, give me 2 years of Yomer over 2 years of 20 million or 16 million or whatever it's going to cost
right.
Moustakas.
And then the other part of it is, okay, Guff and I, we were just in spring training. Kampka, you're going to be there in a week, 2 weeks?
Two weeks.
What we saw in the clubhouse is, and we've seen it before, but this is just, we'll just talk about this current season. What does Yomer mean inside that clubhouse?
And where his locker is, and I know it's funny, so people may cringe where the guy's locker is, but he's right in veteran corner. He literally is. He's right next to Tim Anderson, and I'm trying to think who's on the other side of Avi.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys that are on the opposite sides of, those are the guys that sandwich Yomer Sanchez.
Yeah.
And if you watch these guys on social media, if you follow them on Snapchat or Instagram or whatever, they're always including Yomer, and they're messing with him, they're screwing around with him, and Yomer's a part of it.
He carries a lot of weight inside that clubhouse.
Yes.
Now, if they were to sign Mike Moustakas, it would be fine. They'd find a way to make it work. Moustakas is apparently a great
teammate. Still plays sure games.
But if you're
signing Moustakas, Mike Moustakas is here to play a third base for at least 130 games.
And yeah, Yomer loses his position.
And the White Sox, they have a little urge to get that third baseman thing filled. So Creedy's last game with the White Sox as a third baseman is September 2nd, 2008. So since then, they've had 25 different starting third basemen. But a lot of those guys are guys who, bit players coming for a game here and game there. If you take guys who played 50 starts at third base for the White Sox, they've had 8 of them since Creedy.
And that's a lot.
The most starts at third base since Creedy is only 277.
Hold on, we have to guess this.
Let's play a little.
Hold on. So what is it?
277 starts at third is the leading number since Creedy.
So I'm going
September 3rd, 2008 on, the day after Creedy's last start.
Hold on, so it can't be Fields.
Basically, it's not even two.
Can't be Frazier.
It might be Josh Fields, actually.
No way.
Would you believe that Todd Frazier is second?
No, yeah, I would believe
that.
And
he was I thought Todd Frazier would be number one.
Yeah, but when
he's
you said
number
that,
two, there's one guy.
When
who
you said
more.
That number, I didn't think it. Where's my brain?
Who has more starts at third than Todd Frazier, post Creedy?
You know what? This says the problem right here.
Yeah.
That I watch so much White Sox baseball, and I don't know this off the top of my head. Who is it?
277 games. Tyler Saladino.
No.
Saladino had 81. He is sixth.
Six.
So we'll go back. So,
277
of the guys who had 50 or more starts at third since Creedy, Mark Teen at 72. He's eighth.
I've totally forgotten about Mark Teen.
Seventh is Kevin Youkilis with 78. Saladino at 81. Omar Vizquel with 82.
Oh my God.
Gordon Beckham 141.
Oh, Beckham would have been a good answer. I would think.
Brent Morrell with 173.
Wait. Hold on a second. I have to get myself off
Josh
the
Fields.
Chair. Brent Morrell had that many games at third
Fields
base.
Fields had 47.
Yeah, that wasn't Josh Fields.
Morrell had 173.
I had no idea
I
that many.
I can't remember them.
I don't remember one of them.
And then second is Frazier with 216.
Not Davidson. It's not.
Is it Yomer Sanchez?
Not Lori.
Kapuncher 35. Davidson Kapuncher, 32. Semien 44. But no.
Who's number one?
Connor Gillespie.
Connor Gillespie!
277 starts at third is the most post-Creedy. I did was I took a look at the entire AL Central.
Now you guys see why we wait on these things to have Chris surprise us.
Okay. Yeah. Most starts at third base post-Creedy era. So that's September 3rd, 2008 onward. Cleveland, their leader is 319, Lonnie Chisenhall. Minnesota's 536, Trevor Plouffe. Detroit, 518. Castellanos. KC, 781, Moustakas. So all the teams in the division have had a higher number of starts at third base from that point. I mean, it's
My
kind
goodness.
Of a made-up point, right? September 3rd, 2008, but that's post-Creedy. Creedy's on the Twins list. As
is there any? Is there any? Is there any? What's the word I'm looking for?
Comp.
No, not comp. It's more of like, is there any wonder why the White Sox last playoff appearance was 2008?
Yeah.
Is because
Creedy was he was injured at the time, wasn't he?
Was.
Yeah, yeah. He played a little bit. I'll never forget.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
He missed almost all of September. Yeah, but yeah. Creedy was so good.
He wasn't there in the playoffs. I know that about Creedy.
If he had a good back, he was a fantastic clutch hitter. Hit 30 home runs once. Won a Silver Slugger.
But here's the thing with even Creedy, like that only lasted 2.5-3 years,
right.
Where they had Creedy as we remember him at his peak.
Right, that's the gold standard of third base. He was only in here for a handful of years, like
I know.
You said.
So you're just naming, you know, Moustakas has been with the Royals or had been with the Royals for all those years, all those starts. Castellanos, over 500 starts. The Sox have not been able to figure this out for years.
I mean, think about this. Miguel Cabrera had 309 starts at third since Joe Creedy. And that's not even a guy who you think of as a third baseman, but he did it. So, I mean, that's just the third baseman. It's not exclusive to the White Sox, obviously.
Yeah.
But the, you know.
They got to figure it out.
They do.
I'm hoping that, I guess we've concluded that Yolmer Sanchez should be the bridge to potentially the gold, which would be Nolan Arenado.
Think about it. It was
right? Is that what we've concluded
it
here?
It could have easily been Frazier. Had they not plummeted in 2016.
He was supposed to be that
south,
guy.
Could have been Frazier.
He's been their best third baseman by far.
I mean, some of these other names have made at least one start.
Give me some of these.
By far.
Here's some. Juan Uribe had the 25 starts after.
You know what? I would take Juan Uribe right now.
Same. Speaking of clubhouse,
Orlando Hudson had 25 starts at third base.
Orlando Hudson.
Jason Nix had 20 starts.
By the way, if you're
base.
Driving right now, I hope you're keeping your eye on the wheel.
Yeah,
and not, this is not causing you to have an accident.
Especially when I say Mike Olt had 20 starts. Dion Viciado had 19 starts there.
Dion Viciado was at third base for 19 starts.
Yeah, it was beginning 2010's rookie season.
Okay. 13, by the way, it's still 4-3 Cubs in the fifth inning.
13 for Eduardo Escobar, 11 for Leury Garcia, 7 for Brent Lillibridge, 5 for Wilson Bedemit.
Wilson Bedemit.
Ray Olmedo had 5 starts there. Jose Lopez had 4.
I don't even know who Jose Lopez is. Who's Jose Lopez?
He's a former All-Star for the Mariners, but the Sox got him way past his prime.
Okay. Lopez. Yeah. Okay.
3 for a lot of Dallas guys. McPherson.
I remember Dallas McPherson.
Yeah, 3 starts. Huge, huge prospect for the Angels. Didn't work out.
Oh, so now we got Danny Farquhar in the game. Short guy. He's only 5'9". I think he's going to make the bullpen. What do you think, Guff?
Yeah, I think that's my.
There.
I think Farquhar's
are you
my,
falling asleep?
My
over
favorite
there?
Farquhar moment from spring training was when we had Coop mic'd up and Farquhar was sitting on the bench waiting to get in. If you haven't seen this, log on to NBCSportsChicago.com and see 3 minutes of Coop Gold. He walks over, he sees, "Hey, how you doing, kid? You're just waiting for the phone to ring, aren't you? Get Farquhar up." That's my Danny Farquhar story.
Farquhar is an interesting guy.
Yeah,
he's an analytical kind of pitcher. He's into that kind of stuff. There's some good articles on him out there.
Okay. Did you finish the third base list? Is that it?
I don't want to
hear
anymore.
That's all my ran off all 25.
I really don't want to hear anymore.
That was I don't want to hear that again.
I'm trying to quit.
Okay, we're going to take a break here on the White Sox Talk podcast. Up next, some final thoughts, some takeaways from spring training, and we'll give you a little more commentary as we're hoping that Farquhar can get Wilson Contreras out in the spring training game and Mesa back with more. This White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust. Back in a moment.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/socks. Members FDIC.
And we're back on White Sox Talk podcast, and Wilson Contreras has hit an RBI double off Danny Farquhar for a 5-3 Cubs lead. I was kind of hoping magic would happen for the White Sox while we were doing the podcast. Instead, all we got was, we got some good pitching from Hector Santiago, but not a lot of hitting for the Sox. Ryan Cordell, center field. What do you guys think about him out there?
Give him a shot.
Yeah. The job's open.
You know, the best thing about spring training is just seeing, you know, get that diamond in the rough.
He could be the diamond in the rough. He could be. He looks like a center fielder. That's all I can say right now about him.
There's two guys I'm not ready to give up on, though.
Yeah.
One's named Adam Engel, and the other one's named Charlie Tilson.
Yes.
Yep. Because I mean, I've said it. Tilson's going to be your opening day leadoff man.
Opening day.
Oh, it'll be the center fielder.
Okay. I think they want to go slow with him.
I'm probably
going to
be wrong, but yeah. I'm just bringing it up. I'm owning it. That's what I said.
Okay, you can own it. You can, or rent it.
Like a month ago.
You should probably rent that. I wouldn't own that. I think Engel's going to be your starting center fielder. What do you think?
I think that he is certainly in the driver's seat with no one in the passenger seat right now.
Okay.
I think there's guys in the back seat, but I don't – I think – I'm with you. I think that they're going to give him every – they loved his glove, obviously. And who didn't love his glove?
Yeah.
But the – how much work he put in the offseason, he added that hitch, the
– Yeah, hitch in his swing.
Yeah, I'm trying to –
Well, no, it's a leg kick.
It's a leg kick. Leg kick. Thank you.
You know what? Like,
he was roping balls.
I think they should.
BP.
It's BP. As Tyler Saladino told us.
It's BP.
It's just BP.
All that stuff aside, with that kind of glove, you kind of have to give him chance after chance, because if you can get at least average offensive production from that with that glove, that's – strength up the middle.
Danny Farquhar, pretty good pickoff move to second base.
To get old number 98.
98.
No, yeah.
By the way, if you are a Cubs minor leaguer.
He's out.
He's out. If you're a Cubs minor leaguer wearing number 98 without a name, you know where you stand.
Well, he's on WGN right now. So, I mean, he's got himself, his family's probably pretty proud of him.
Yeah. Farquhar doesn't throw that hard, does he?
the breaking down a spring training game podcast.
Yeah. We're talking. Oh, so I think Tilson starts in AAA, and if he plays well, and I think Leury Garcia will be your fourth outfielder / roving infielder.
Disagree with that. I almost kind of by default. So where's Tyler Saladino in the mix?
That's a good question. I don't know where he is in the mix. I think he's playing for a job right now.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. What do you think there?
Yeah, I agree with that, and that's good. Let's get competition out there. Let's see what you have.
Okay. Well, coming up this week, Guff, we've got a couple of features you're working on. What's going to be up?
Yep. We have right now on the website, NBCSportsChicago.com, Charlie Tilson. Speaking of which, we woke up one morning real early. He invited up to the apartment, and we drove with him to Camelback Ranch. Mm-hmm. Very open, honest conversation about a guy who's been to hell and back kind of with the injuries. He has missed a whole year. We have robbing. This plays right into what we were just talking about. The art of robbing a homer with Adam Engel. That was fun. You were there, Chuck, for that. Gets up close and personal with the walls he did last year, and kind of walks through two of the catches, those two big catches he had last year. We have pitch framing with Zach Collins. We were in the weight room with Sox strength and conditioning coordinator Alan Thomas, and we have just great video there. So there's plenty of another big one on Wednesday. Lucas Giolito will make his Cactus League debut. Mm-hmm. This spring, and he takes us through his pitch grips.
And Thursday, we're going to come out with a second podcast talking about Lucas Giolito. We interviewed him, and we've got the Jake Berger feature.
We're all going to do
the Jake Berger feature.
Some of these are next week. Jake Burgers with Berger, that's next week, as I think Zach Collins will be too. So just, hey, look, stay glued. If you follow Chuck on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, if you follow White Sox Talk on Twitter,
or
Chris Kampka on Twitter.
Yeah,
these features are there.
All these features, I've been seeing notes on them, and I've been looking forward to them myself.
So follow along, and they're going to be there. We got plenty of good access from the White Sox, as always. They take care of us. So,
and Danny Farquhar gave up a run, but that was not. He looked pretty good other than that double he gave to Castillo, right? Okay.
Silence is deafening.
Yeah, give him a chance.
Giving him a chance.
Get Farquhar.
All right. I'm not going to pick him up my fantasy baseball league, I guess. All right. White Sox Talk Podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at www.wintrust.com/Sox, and we'll see you next time.